This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us today, and happy Friday to all of you. It's a beautiful summer Friday. Hope you're staying cool. And if you want to call in today, we're taking calls the entire show. The number is 844-500-4242. Well, I should say almost the entire show. We are going to be joined by John Cardillo, who's formerly of the NYPD, in the 1 o'clock hour to discuss all of the chaos that's going on in New York. But we have a great show planned for you. And whether you want to talk about what's happening in China or you want to talk about some things that are happening in the United States, including the illegal aliens who are officially being bused to New York City, you are more than welcome to call in about any of that. The number again is 844-500-4242. I do want to focus on this story about the bus of illegal aliens going to the Big Apple, because at first, evil Governor Greg Abbott from Texas was sending these migrants to D.C., and Mayor Bowser had an issue with that. She was not happy about it. So now he's sending illegal aliens to Sanctuary, New York City. And all these places are sanctuaries. They're sanctuaries until they're not sanctuaries. They're sanctuaries until they're actually required to take in people. And then they say, this is draining on our resources a bit. And there was breaking news about this just about 45 minutes ago. The National Guard will not help D.C. deal with migrant influx caused by Texas Governor Abbott's busing migrants to the city. I have a hilarious piece to read you from the New York Times, and the title is GOP Governors Cause Havoc. Now, I don't mean to be an editor. That's not my job. I have editors. I love my editors because they pick up on things that I don't pick up on. But I will say that if you're going to use the word havoc, do you know what I'm about to say, Jared? You don't say caused havoc. I think Howie would agree with me on this. You say wreaked havoc. They're wreaking havoc. Governor Abbott is wreaking havoc because he's sending illegal aliens to other places besides Texas. And there's a lot of arguments the left makes, which I don't understand, but I can try to put myself in their shoes and try to figure out what their argument will be. It's like in a true crime doc when they say you got to get into the mind of the killer. You know, you got to figure out what their next move would be. I try to get into the mind of opponents and say, you know, I might disagree with you, but maybe your argument is this. Or I disagree with this, but that's because I'm not as passionate about it, i.e. climate change. Now, with this, I can't understand what their argument is. That it's okay for Texas to bear the brunt of this broken immigration system, but it's not okay for New York to have to do it. And actually, there's a quote here from one of the women who runs one of these charities in New York. And this is what she said. The infrastructure in New York is not built for this. We are not on the border. I think Texas might argue the same thing. They didn't sign up to be the place that takes in people who are coming here illegally. I don't think Texas ever had a deal where they said, yeah, we're on board for that. The infrastructure in New York is not built for this. And it really does come down to illegal aliens for thee, but not for me. Like they want a virtue signal. They want to talk about how wonderful all this stuff is. And, you know, it brings me back to Gavin Newsom yesterday. I got such a kick out of that ad he had in Variety. I had so much fun reading it. I had so much fun ripping into California. And that actually makes me think that these people in New York, these people in Soho, these people in the Upper East Side, who aren't happy with these buses, where and they claim that Abbott's tricking. He's tricking people into getting on the buses. He says, "Do you want to get on a free bus ride to New York City?" And they say, "Yes." What part of that is false advertising? Is he actually charging them when they get there? Are they not ending up in New York City? What part is the trick? What is he, Houdini? What part of this am I? Is he David Blaine? What part is he tricking them into? But if we're going to go based off Gavin Newsom and his brilliance, shouldn't the residents in New York City be writing thank you notes to Governor Abbott? Because this directly aligns with their values. And I was told that values are important. So Abbott is helping them show off their values. You say you're a sanctuary city. Guess what? Now's your chance to prove it. It brings me back to Disney World, when Disney World was saying, "Oh, you know, we don't like this don't say gay bill." First of all, it's the Parental Rights and Education Bill. So the entire title of it was nonsense. It's as ridiculous as the Inflation Reduction Act. But Disney loved to talk about that. This bill's bad. And so DeSantis, and he's always brilliant, and this was one of his better moves here. He said, if you guys disagree with it so much, great. We're going to take away your privileges. You're that fed up with Florida. If Florida's been treating you so badly, then you should have no problem. You should have no problem having to take on more taxes, because it's nothing compared to the passion you feel about virtue signaling. It's nothing compared to the moral high ground that you are hell-bent on holding on to. It should mean nothing to you to pay a little bit more money. Oh, but hold on. It turns out it did. It turns out that a lot of these places, a lot of these politicians, a lot of these Democrats, they love to virtue signal. But then when things show up, you know, whether it be in their paycheck or if people show up at their door, they get real quiet. They start saying, "Oh, well, you know, this isn't really fair. This isn't fair. Abbott's evil." I'll read you more of that in a minute, but we have just so many things to get to. We also have the news that is all over the place about the fallout from Pelosi's Taiwan trip. I have to tell you that here are some updates. Well, China sanctioned Pelosi over what they're calling the vicious trip. They're also firing missiles over Taiwan's capital, and they flew drones over Japan. Fear not, though. Fear not, because Anthony Spotify Blinken is on the case. And whenever I see words like escalation, China, drones, missiles, I think, I hope Blinken's on top of this. Because when in doubt, put your trust in Blinken. He knows what he's doing. Okay? This isn't his first rodeo. So Blinken says, and Jared already warned me that this isn't great audio, so maybe we'll just skip it, but he says that he's urging Beijing to back down. I don't know about you, but it is good. Okay, you know, we'll play cut five then. This is Antony Blinken talking about all of the work he's doing, urging Beijing to back down.
In the meeting that we just had with all of the ASEAN foreign ministers, we had a vigorous communication about the situation in and around Taiwan. And I reiterated the points that we've made publicly as well as directly to Chinese counterparts in recent days, again, about the fact that they should not use the visit as a pretext for escalation, for provocative actions, that there is no possible justification for what they've done, and urge them to cease these actions.
Wow, I can just, the confidence is jarring in his voice. I like how he talks like this, and at the end of every sentence, it goes up, almost as if he's a valley girl.
Surprisingly, that was, or unsurprisingly, that actually was the strongest Anthony Blinken has ever looked, if you watch it.
Oh, by the way, have you been checking on his Spotify? Has he had any time to, with all this urging and reiterating, I don't know how much time he's had to update the old Spotify playlist.
I don't know. Every time I do, I get a Olivia Rodrigo sense of deja vu, you know?
Oh, very good,
when
Jared.
When I check out Anthony Blinken's Spotify.
Who says that Jared is not hip? He is hip to the beat. That was very good. Yeah, so Anthony Blinken's on this. But the point is that the White House, no matter who you go to, whether no matter who you decide to depend on in this White House, whether you're going to Joe Biden for answers, or you're going to KJP for encouragement, or you're going to John Kirby for solace. No matter who you go to, they are all over the map when it comes to China. And it makes sense. I'm going to break this down when we come back. I want to end it here because we have so much great sound to get to, including John Kirby getting a little bit edgy with Peter Ducey.
He was testy with a couple people yesterday.
He was. Did you notice that? He, like, one guy, he's, hey, this is the White House press briefing. You have to be respectful. Hold on, Kirby. Why are you coming in so hot? Do you think any of these press secretaries, because that's what he is, let's be honest. I know he has other titles, but he's basically co-hosting live with Regis and Kelly at this point with KJP. And do you think any of these press secretaries could have handled questions like Kayleigh McEnany or Sarah Huckabee Sanders or Sean Spicer?
The civility that was shown to Donald Trump's press secretary.
Yes.
Obviously is the norm here.
Now they get a question they don't like and they say, I find that insulting. They're very sensitive. Very sensitive people. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the best and the brightest. We've got a lot of sound to get to. And like I said, John Cardillo in the 1 o'clock. But before then, I want to take your calls. The number is 844-500-4242. We're taking calls on everything for the rest of the show. So call in and we'll get right back to it. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I can't get over the line here in this New York Times article. The infrastructure in New York is not built for this. You know, the people in Texas are saying, hey, newsflash! Newsflash, beautiful people! Our infrastructure is not built for this either. A lot of infrastructure in this country is not built for chaos. It's not built for illegal entries. But I'm just thrilled at the learning opportunity here for all of these people in New York, in D.C. It's what do they call it now in the woke language? They say, is it a learning moment or a
teachable moment?
A teachable moment. Thank you. Once again, Jared, I would swear you're Gen Z. You know all of these things. So this is GOP governors cause havoc. Wreak havoc. I'm actually going to cross this out right now. Wreak havoc by busing migrants to East Coast. Now, Howie's going to be talking about this a lot today, too. I think it's a great topic because I'll be perfectly honest. You can rewind the tape on me. I've said some things I backtrack. I'm honest about it. I originally thought this was kind of ridiculous. Thought it was a little bit of theater by Abbott. I stand corrected because what he has done is he has exposed not just how broken our immigration system is, but how hypocritical these politicians are and these Democrats and these blue states who think that it's up to all of us credulous boomer rubes to deal with the chaos that is happening at the border, as long as it stays away from their posh neighborhoods and their fancy suburbs. Since April, Texas has delivered more than 6,200 migrants to the nation's capital, with Arizona dispatching an additional 1,000 since May. The influx has prompted Muriel E. Bowser, D.C. mayor, to ask the Defense Department to send the National Guard in. Update for that, which wasn't in this New York Times story, the National Guard will not be helping D.C. deal with the migrant influx. In the words of Simon Cowell, it's going to be a no from me. A vast majority of recent bus riders are Venezuelans fleeing their crisis-ridden country. Now, they have some quotes in here from people that are crossing the border who get on these buses. But I also love this line. Cities along the border in Texas and Arizona have at times been overwhelmed with a surge in unauthorized border crossings that peaked under the Biden administration, which has sought to unravel some of the harsh border restrictions imposed by former President Donald J. Trump.
I'm sorry, I thought AOC told us we couldn't use the word surge at the border.
Yes.
New York Times.
New York Times.
And your racism.
Care to apologize to President Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Racism, racism.
Sought to unravel some of the harsh border restrictions. Oh, you mean the ones that worked? What's your definition of harsh? Functioning? This stuff drives me nuts. All right, now I got to read more here. Your recent interest in this historic and preventable crisis. This is from Abbott. This is pretty good. Your recent interest in this historic and preventable crisis is a welcome development, especially as the president and his administration have shown no remorse for their actions and no desire to address the situation themselves. Now, the New York mayor's press secretary thinks that instead of a photo op, Governor Abbott should focus his energy and resources on providing support and resources to asylum seekers in Texas, as we have been hard at work doing in New York City. Well, I've got good news for you, Fabian. You'll be able to show that hard work that you're doing in New York City. You'll be able to do that for a lot longer if we keep this up. It sounds like you want Abbott to send more illegal aliens to New York City so you can show off some of this hard work that you guys are doing. John, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace, I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to tell you what's going on in Providence, Rhode Island. There was an article that appeared yesterday that the governor dispersed the COVID relief funds that were left over to the cities and towns. And Providence, which has been being overrun by illegal aliens for some time now, the mayor is giving the funds to Dorcas International, a legal services firm, to provide a path or to help provide a path to citizenship for the illegal aliens. So our COVID relief funds are being used to help provide legality to the illegal aliens, and nobody would have ever gone for that when Trump released those funds to begin with. That's how ironic it is. So I just wanted to mention that.
It's a really good point, John. And then just to top it all off, just to put the cherry on top of this hypocrisy, I would add in that COVID relief funds are now going to help illegal aliens come into this country. And furthermore, when they come into this country, they don't have to be vaccinated. But if your kid wants to go to school, there's a good chance they're going to have to be vaccinated. It really is beyond pathetic what we are dealing with right now. And the refusal by these leaders, and I'm using air quotes, to address this problem. When we come back, I'm going to play some sound from Blinken. I'm going to play some sound from KJP and John Kirby. I'm starting to enjoy these Kirby cuts. I thought he was going to be kind of boring, but I didn't realize that he has something in common with Joe Biden. The old glass jaw. And I think that's going to provide us with quite a bit of entertainment. 844-500-4242. We're taking all your calls. So weigh in. We'll be right back with more. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Pray, have it!
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We just had a caller from Providence who was talking about how the COVID-19 assistance is going to be used to make illegal aliens, to help them become citizens. And I have the story here. Providence's new program puts citizenship within reach for more immigrants. The program will provide immigration-focused legal services to foreign-born Providence residents seeking United States citizenship or renewal of lawful immigrant status. Don't know what that has to do with COVID-19. It's part of the Immigration Legal Assistance and COVID-19 Recovery Program. But I don't think they probably know what that has to do with COVID-19 either, the people who are putting together this program. I guess COVID-19 now, you can just spend that money on anything. I mean, we read a story about schools putting in smoothie rooms. It's really, the sky's the limit. If you've got the COVID-19 money, I don't know what you can get in trouble for using it for. I think it's basically like Monopoly money. You just do whatever you want. What would you do with it, Jared?
Oh, boy, I don't know. But I do remember there was an old insurance company that I had in California. I got into an accident, and they gave me $1,200 for injury when I wasn't injured. And I was like, okay, do I give this back? They're like, oh, no, use it to fix your neck or whatever. Like, my neck's fine. But if I do use it, do I have to show that I used it at the doctors? They're like, no, we trust you. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
This is great.
You know,
got
we
an
call
apartment
that,
with that.
That's the honor system.
Yes.
The honor system is great. It's great for especially politicians because people who are going to cheat and steal and lie love the honor system. They're its biggest fans. They're all for it. Breadman, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Breadman.
Happy Friday, Grace. Thank you for taking my call.
TGIF.
Yes, indeed. I have a question for Mayor Adams, and then I'll make a point, and I'll let you get on with it.
Surely.
New York City was built on the backs of immigrants. Why are they not set up for an immigrant surge? And the second thing I wanted to say, Ronald Reagan said, The scariest words in the English language are, don't worry, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, and there's so many quotes from Reagan that have aged really well, but that is definitely top three. I also love the quote he says about freedom's just one generation away from being lost. And I think about that all the time now because it feels more and more like a lot of people in our country, they make up problems and they create controversy and they create chaos because they don't understand how great this country is. And we have our flaws. We have our flaws like every other country, but there's a lot of people who don't seem grateful to be American. One other thing I wanted to add in here, this was when the immigrants were sent to, I believe this one was New York, unhoused Americans on one side of the plaza, on the other, migrants with their belongings splayed on the ground, all within sight. Oh, I'm sorry, this is DC, all within sight of the Capitol. This is a crisis created by Republican leaders in other states, said a council member who prepared the letter. So how is this created by Republican leaders in other states? Are they forcing these illegal aliens to come here? If anything, I thought that Joe Biden on the debate stage telling illegal aliens to surge the border might have been part of the creation of this issue, which I was also told was happening, was created by Donald Trump. So what do the Republican leaders in other states have to do with it?
I would say to this council member and to Mayor Bowser, this is not who we are.
It's not.
Why do you hate the soul of our country?
Yeah, and also read the Statue of Liberty, okay?
Right? There's like poems upon poems upon poems about this.
And I'm pretty sure they're in the Constitution. So if you love the Constitution so much, maybe you should read it.
They're in Michael Moore's 28th Amendment.
See, we've become so good at arguing like liberals that I really do think it's a problem. I think we're giving them ideas. All right, I do want to switch gears here just a little bit and get to Blinken because, as I mentioned, the White House's messaging is always chaotic on all fronts, but when it comes to foreign policy, it's particularly out there. And it makes sense why, because a lot of what the White House needs to portray to the public as far as our stance on China goes and as far as standing with Taiwan, a lot of it is antithetical to everything Joe Biden has ever stood for in his career. and in his personal life. More so in his personal life, really. And this contradiction is why the president was screwing up in regards to China before he was even president. When he was just a candidate in his basement, he was messing this up. So I want to do a little trip down memory lane, Jared, if we could. And we're going to kind of go through some of this because I find it amusing to watch all of the people who are supposed to be representing Joe Biden and supposed to be giving us his take on things. They all have different opinions. No one's on the same page because there isn't a page to be on. There isn't a page to be on. Joe Biden wants us to believe that he's tough on China because he thinks that polls well with people and he thinks that that looks good for him. But his career and his son's illustrious career beg to differ. They tell a completely different story. So let's take a trip down memory lane. But I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane. All right, so let's start up here with one of my favorite Biden cuts. This is all the way back from 2019. And this is when he started talking about lunch. Lunch is very important to Joe Biden. I can't tell you the amount of articles I've read about what Joe Biden eats for lunch. He steers clear of salads. He doesn't want to get them in his teeth. He had, I think, a peanut butter and jelly when he was in a car with Eric Adams at one point.
I want a double-dipped waffle cone with vanilla chocolate chip.
I know more about Joe Biden's eating schedule than I know about my own. Okay, there's been think pieces, puff pieces, everything you could imagine. And at one point, he was even going so far as to tell us about China's lunch and what was on their menu. So this is cut one. This is from May of 2019.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. They can't even figure out how to deal with the fact that they have this great division between the China Sea and the mountains in the east. I mean, in the west.
Translation, don't worry about China. They're no competition for us. They're not going to eat our lunch, correct? Our lunch is going to be okay. Our pudding cup, our potato wedges, our tuna sandwich, whatever it is, we're good. They're not coming for our lunch. Then there was a switch. Then there was a big switch in May of 2021. So 2 years later. This is also Joe Biden. Cut two.
Well, we now do point seven. The Chinese are eating our lunch. They're eating our lunch economically.
Wow. That escalated quickly. They went from not eating our lunch and actually making a point of not eating our lunch, being that polite as they sat across the table from us and making sure not even to ask for a French fry. And then suddenly they're eating our lunch. They're reaching over. They're stealing our sandwich. Things changed. Now, that kind of...
It's time for lunch.
That kind of chaotic, disjointed response to China has really become a hallmark of this administration. And I want to start, I think I'll start with Kirby, because Peter Ducey asked John Kirby, and I know that what's Kirby's actual title, Jared?
He is press secretary of the Pentagon, is his official title.
All right, so Ducey is asking, I'm going to call him press secretary. Press secretary two.
Yeah, I think he, much like the Detroit FBI field office guy, is now overseeing this office.
Because failing up is what Democrats do. We will get back to that, by the way. I'm not done with Christopher Wray yet. I'll call him co-press secretary. So our co-press secretary is asked by Peter Ducey why Joe Biden doesn't call Xi Jinping. And Ducey, and I'm just laying this out in case sometimes it's easier to really hear it if you know what we're expecting here. Ducey's point is Joe Biden's schedule is pretty clear right now. He has COVID. He's tested positive for COVID again, like every day this week. He's been testing positive almost. And so he's isolating. So besides the occasional Zoom call or, weird photo op that he's taking with his dog on the porch in a suit in 110 degree weather, besides that, which I can't imagine takes up more than an hour, if we're being generous, if we're overestimating how long that stuff takes.
I don't know. Sometimes when rigor sets in, it's tough to...
Well, here's my issue. He has he works 24 hours a day, according to his wife. Was it 20? She might have said 23. She might have given him 1 hour for sleeping. But he works a lot of hours during the day. And most of the time, we don't know what he's doing. We never know what he's doing. It's like Wedding Crashers. Mom, the meatloaf. I never know what she's doing back there. It also reminds me of The Office when Michael has to keep a timesheet of what he's doing all day so they can know, you know, what tasks he's completing. And at one point, Pam writes in, like, from 12 to 3, free play. That's what I think of with Joe Biden. Like, him trying to figure out, all right, what can I mark this down as? Well, I did a little doodling at one point. I drew the dog, so maybe I'll write down sketching out some ideas. So Joe Biden has all this time. And so Peter Ducey's asking, why doesn't he call Xi Jinping? I mean, he's got a lot of free time. Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Easy one horse pony soldier. Kirby didn't come here to be made sport of. Let's have cut 20, please.
I know you said that there is not a call scheduled with Xi. Is there a reason why? Because President Biden's known him for decades.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of free time up there in the residence this week.
He doesn't have free time. He can't just
pick up the phone and call?
He's been working all the way through his illness, quite frankly, Peter. So that's a little bit insulting. And as for a
it's
call,
not insulting.
It is.
That someone who is isolating by themselves.
You suggested he has a lot of free time as if he's not doing anything, and you know that's not the case, Mr. Ducey. Now look, as for a call with President Xi, I don't have anything on the president's schedule to speak to. If ever the president felt like a call with President Xi was the appropriate way to respond or that it would have an effect and an outcome that he wants to achieve, he certainly would be willing to do that. He's talked to
He would certainly be willing to do that. They'd have a two-hour conversation, and we would get no information out of it. We'd get a weirdo 100-word description about how everything's hunky-dory. But let's focus on the other part. Let's focus on the bizarre part of that, where Kirby got his back up against the wall because Ducey said he has a lot of free time. Way to play it cool, Kirby. I know I say this line a lot, but it does apply in a lot of situations, especially in politics. Methinks the lady doth protest too much. Methinks the gentleman doth protest too much in this case. He has tons. He's super, super busy. You know what he should have done at that point? He should have brought out that old puff piece. I think it was either from the New York Times or the Washington Post. Not that it makes a big difference. And he should have started reading it and said, Ducey, one horse pony. He doesn't have any free time. He's super busy. He carries around leather briefcases full of heavy, heavy books. And he asks lots of questions, Socratic questions. His schedule is chock full. Peter Ducey, did you not see the interview in People magazine where Jill Biden said her husband works 23 hours a day? Fact check, false. He does not have a lot of free time. Yikes, very touchy.
This president is acting.
The louder Kirby spoke of Joe Biden's busyness, the quicker I counted my spoons. I don't believe you. I don't believe you, John. It looks like history is repeating itself. Today, Biden's economy is mirroring that of Jimmy Carter. The parallels are uncanny. Under Carter, both the stock market and the dollar lost more than half their value. The price of oil quadrupled. Who can forget the gas lines? The economy tanked and inflation ran rampant, which is very true today. Those who owned precious metals in the 1970s saw the value of gold rise over 1,300%. The big difference between Carter and Biden was Carter wasn't trying to legislate the taxing of retirement accounts, merging them with Social Security, or replacing the dollar bill with digital money as Democrats are attempting to do today. What we are seeing is a once-in-every-generation opportunity. Some analysts predict gold as high as $5,000. A network analyst predicted $15,000 in 3 years. So get Monetary Gold's complimentary protection guide if you want to protect your savings from greedy socialists like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. Monetary Gold is a top-rated company. It's rated a top five with the BBB for 22 years. And my listeners who open a qualified account now will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. So call 888-617-7994 and ask for their free guide. Again, that's 888-617-7994 or visit them at monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. We do have big updates on the economy. There's job numbers out and Joe Biden is taking yet another victory lap. Plus, Kirsten Sinema has caved. She's going along with Manchin and Schumer. So we are going to probably get the Inflation Reduction Act, which, as everyone listening knows, is pretty much bound to not reduce inflation. We'll be right back with your calls. Weigh in, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
What a great bumper for a Friday. A little Shania is the best way to get into the weekend. I love how Biden got some good news as far as jobs go. And I'm seeing all these things about how Fox is downplaying the good news because the U.S. economy added 528,000 jobs. And a lot of liberals are upset that Biden's not getting enough credit. Where's his parades? Yeah, because I remember you guys really, really taking out the pom-poms when Trump had great numbers as far as the economy goes. I remember that. I remember all the wonderful, this is great. We were wrong about Trump. This economy is actually doing really well. Oh, wait, I don't remember that. So pardon me if I haven't set up the balloons yet for Joe Biden's little bit of good news. We're all supposed to stand up and give him a standing O. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who'll pull in more votes for Liz Cheney? Dick Cheney or Kevin Costner?
Okay, so Dick Cheney, Liz's dad, was part of her political ad because she's very desperate. She thinks she's going to lose in Wyoming. So she brought in her dad to try to help. Kevin Costner was photographed, I think like 3 days ago, wearing a Liz Cheney shirt. It was something like Real Cowboys Like Liz or something. I don't know, or Wyoming. I don't even remember what it was. But this is just an excuse for me to talk about Kevin Costner because I'm a big fan and I think it's hysterical that he put on a Liz Cheney t-shirt. I think it makes him look ridiculous. It also makes her look ridiculous. Oh, actor from hit series loves Liz Cheney. Hollywood elitist loves Liz Cheney. Never mind. I am going to vote for her. I thought she was a never Trumper rhino who wanted praise from Democrats. But now that this Hollywood A-lister is supporting Liz, he's probably more like B-plus lister. You know, I changed my mind. I think I'm on board. I don't know. I don't know who.
But he's on a show that's based in Wyoming.
Yeah, so he must really understand.
Yeah,
Yellowstone. Yeah, he really understands what people in Wyoming want because he pretends to be from Wyoming.
He's Wyoming-ons.
He's not a cowboy, but he plays one on TV, so you can trust him. I'm going to say, though, despite that, I think Kevin Costner is going to do more for Liz than her dad.
Oh, he's doing a whopping job in our poll. 82% say Kevin Costner, just 18% for Dick Cheney.
We'll discuss the bodyguard at some point today. Fear not. John Cardillo coming up next. Don't go anywhere.